You stand tall. Well, it's a Saturday. I just dropped off Josh to go to one of his games. I am going to go. I am coming to. I gotta go to church meeting. I think we've got everything set for Lisa for the evening session tonight. I was talking to Josh about the whole thing about Josh. I'm really worried that once I get into this, I'm going to get sucked into spyware. You know, diplomats are just kind of a nudge away from getting sucked into something else. I see only a little difference between being a Foreign Service officer and being a CIA analyst, and that might find your job title and your hierarchy that you report to all of a sudden shifting vaguely, and you're saying, well, I don't know. Anyway, not that I'm thinking along these lines at all. Come on. I don't think I'm the type of guy, number one. I'm not going to be coordinated particularly. Although I've got to say, I was reading the blog of this one girl, and frankly, I don't want to be calling a girl. She's probably got more education than I do. And this one lady, she's actually been the one that has probably the best insight into what's been going on in her training. You know, during the actual initial training and stuff like that, she's actually been a little, maybe a little bit more forward than she should be. Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to say. Somebody checks those things, and somebody pokes around and says this and that. She's talking about some of the things that she got into, and there's parties stuff and things to do, and I understand that these are important aspects of the job. You'll probably learn more going to a cocktail party than you ever will going to, you know, a million meetings, talking to 1,000 people. You really have much more to do than that. And of course, I'm going to have to try and be a little more scintillating. Of course, I tend to connect with different kinds of people now. I mean, I'm not young, so when I'll say, oh, it's for all the young guys, you go, you know what? Okay, well, I'm going to tell stories about things I don't remember from my past. About that. I got to write them down quick because they're gone after that. It really works well, maybe. I think that's good, although leaders tend to have to get involved in little stories. And one of the things, you know, I have to be honest, one of the things about my job at like Roundtree that I don't even claim anymore that I walked away from before I ever could was kind of the whole schmoozing thing. Something of a developmental thing. And I've often thought since then that that could have been, in not stepping up to the plate on that and taking something else that everybody else said, you'll figure this out. You'll be able to do this. It's okay. You can do this. And the fact that I did may have set me back. Golly, how long has it been? 30 years? Oh my gosh. No, not 30. 20. A good solid 20 years. I think I was 28. What was that? That was 1994? Maybe 1994, I think we'll get 1995. So yeah, I was 28. Just coming up to 28. And, I'm going to be a management sort. I better just get to the point to where I'm a management sort. Now, you know, I'm older, and hopefully I'm a little more comfortable in my skin, and I don't, and doing things that might seem silly to myself, aren't as troublesome as they used to be. Deals with that. Alright, come on, guys. Either you're passing him or you're not passing him. Being in the left lane is very annoying, you fellas. I love people who think that they own the left lane and they never get over. Thank you. I appreciate them. Not trying to give any kind of garbage. But, getting away from them. And it has to do with how one carries themselves. What people do, mannerisms. I need to get better at developing that. And see where that goes. Are you going to lose Jay in this? You go, I don't think so. I'm good at being self-deprecating, but there's times when that's not the right thing to do. So you don't want to make it a personality trait. In sum, in total, I think the better thing to do is to have abilities, but ones that you can, that you can control. I can be self-deprecating, or I can choose not to be. I need to work on that. Get habits of mind, and things like that. I got this on my phone to see how well it works in Amarillo. Because if it doesn't even work in Amarillo either, I'm really concerned about this plan I got and the fact that having the whole national ability isn't really going to merit me much. Especially since I am soon going to be working someplace else. And I'll have a different set of criteria to have to worry about. And I might not be around a lot. Especially if I get one of these jobs in for talent. Although I really don't want a technical job again. And I know this sounds funny because when I hear myself saying it, it kind of seems a little, I kind of want the job at Mesa-Rand in Tucum Cherry. And maybe that indicates something a little broader, a little larger. People say, well, Jay's been wanting to leave here for a long time. But it was wanting to leave in order to pursue things that I don't think Tucum Cherry could have done. There's a job here that can still get me closer to my goals. And don't ask me what my goals are because I'm not really quite sure. I'm more following an impression, a feeling, a hunch, almost. For those of you who don't have a concept of the Spirit, I'm seeking to follow the Spirit here. And insofar as it, insofar as what I'm doing is getting myself closer to that goal, that's great, that excites me. As much as my job can engage all of my abilities on a certain level, that's better than one that disengages one, which is all computer work does, is engage one. Although I can't say those TikTok presentations were quite, I got a kick out of them. From the standpoint of the creative process required make those things come off, and I'm pretty good at doing stuff off the cuff. If you need a quick presentation on something, I can walk something up pretty fast and walk through it, and people say, well, that was really good, really, you know, well, people always say things like that. I think it's half political. So, one doesn't sit there and just say, well, you're just so wonderful, you know, what exactly are you after? Oh, no. You know, not say it, but think it. It's always the biggest thing. You don't say what you think. You think what you think. You write what you think in a communique. to send it on. In your report, send it up the line. At least it was asked me today. Well, what post would you like to see first? What would be on your list of places to go? And I said, Lisa, I really don't have I compared that to this lady's blog where she said, I don't know what would even be decent criteria. One of my first criteria is that I want to... I would like my first one to be one that my family can go on. Chances are when I actually get to the appointment, the younger boys will be 14. Josh will be 16 and a half. By the time that we're done with our first posting, if I don't just spend 18 months in Washington, D.C., taking care of stuff, language training, I want something that will keep my family together. Whether it's language training, whether it's might as well do the consular service first. There are a few things they want you to do by your 5-year mark. The end of your probationary period. When you get tenure, as they say. And that is proficiency in a language, and two tours. So well, you know, we'll just see how it goes. See how it goes. my understanding is, as long as I do a good job and give my best effort to things, they should go fine. And let prayer and circumstance rule day. Where I'm needed and wanted is where I need to go, and that's praying. State Department already behaves on that level a lot. So yeah, I don't know where I want to go. Take whatever just pops up. It always seems to be kind of interesting. That's okay. It's just like, you know, where you're going to go on your mission is really an interesting decision-making pattern. I never understood why I went to Utah, except Lisa's contention is that it was only so that we could meet. And I'm perfectly willing to accept that. And that was where Lisa was prepared to go, and what Lisa was prepared to do. And now that we're getting to the point where Lisa says, okay, Jay, let's start looking at focusing on you a little bit more, which we should have been doing 20 years ago. So I can't say that. We gave the attempt, and I, you know, I'm chickened out. And I don't have any intention of chickening out again. And for those of you who listen to this recording, if you hear, oh, well, he's got audio recordings, we can go back and read all of them. My time working for Presbyterian Medical Services as the director of Roundtree Developmental, whatever the name of the place was, I don't remember what it was now. Roundtree. I left before my probationary period was over. My concept of it, I will remain always steadfastly of the mind that not only is a probationary period so your employer can decide if you're a good fit, but if you decide that employment at that organization is a good fit for you. And I will steadfastly stand behind the fact that I left when I found out that at the time, and according to my present desires at the time, I didn't feel like I was a good fit for the job, and I left before the probationary period was over. And in doing so, no repercussions, I didn't have to claim it on my resume. And I continue to do that to this day. I don't put my time at TDS, KBR, blah, 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 Los Alamos National Lab for exactly the same reason. Wasn't a good fit. Another opportunity came up that was part of the job search that originally got me that job. Called back. Wanted to know if I was willing to interview for the job. I'm always willing to interview for jobs, no matter what my current status is where I am working. It was within the probationary period, and I took the opportunity to leave. And it's as simple as that. Every street goes two ways. If you say it goes one way, I'll look at you funny and laugh at you. because I am not a person that is into getting pushed around. And saying that my employer holds all the draft deeds, and that they have the perfect right to make whatever determination they like, whether to keep you or let you go at any given time, it's equally the same with me. I consider all work at will. They can fire me at any time. But then again, I can also quit at any time. And it was made very apparent to me when I worked for TGS, and that's exactly what happened. As soon as I told them that I was leaving and what my last day was, they reevaluated the last day and cut me off early. I thought I was dealing with a different circumstance than I was. I learned from it, now I'm smarter. So if you're listening to this, if as part of my consideration as a potential Foreign Service officer, and you look back and go, well, that doesn't look very good, that's fine. You are going to make what determination you're going to make, but I need to go ahead and defend my side right here, right now. My attempt is always to leave before a probationary period ends, if it's just not going to work for one reason or another. And that reason can be anything from, I just don't like the color of the carpet, or whatever else. Yeah, now it's not ever going to be as petty as that. But I do let feelings influence what I do. If I don't feel right about something, I don't tend to do it. Even if I quit my old job and I've got to move on, that's happened every time. Every time I've left a job where I didn't immediately have another job lined up, That was part of the downside of making those decisions during a probationary period. And the fact that those jobs I don't count those jobs. Whether they would make me look bad or make me look good, I'll be really honest. My job at Los Alamos National Lab impressed the people at Mexico State University. I think it might have been a factor in my getting the job that I have now, is that they said, well, with a real recommendation like being hired by Los Alamos National Lab, he must have something really amazing. I'm not saying that's true or not. I don't know. Nobody tells you what their criteria was for ultimately hiring you. It's a dangerous thing to do anyway. You make a call, you make a decision, and you're in a position to stick with that position unless it's so horrible that you've got to cut your losses. Just kind of the way the world works. But I also do not claim my time at Los Alamos on my resume. I don't do that. By nature, I don't do that. If I'm still within the initial employment probation and I decide to leave, I simply leave. I don't put out there that I've done it. Now, in some cases, I don't have much of a choice. When they say, have you had a security clearance? And my answer is yes. I had a secret clearance. It was a DOEL clearance. And, it's going to be in some record somewhere. If I put in my full security number and I pop up, chances are the fact that our grid L-level spirit is going to manifest itself to go, what on earth were you doing with an L-level spirit? Then I'll have to say, well, what's in your resume? And go, it was during your probationary period. I do not put failed employment that was terminated within a probationary period. It wasn't working very well. It was funky work, and I am just diametrically opposed to doing monkey work for very long at all. And the more monkeyish work gets over time, the more it just becomes almost mechanical. And, you know, I don't appreciate it more. Once I've lost all the wonder of a job, it's time to leave. That's why I changed jobs every year. Times I've just benefited from it. I believe I'm much better at taking on new things, taking some risks. I'm loath to think that, well, I would just stick with the same job I had for my entire life. Some people think that that's a great, you know, well, they stuck in there even though it was difficult and hard. You did it for 50 years. And you go, I consider that to be almost borderline pathetic. That you didn't really take any risks, you didn't take any chances. Many, many people have great respect for my father-in-law. And he was a good guy to a certain level. He didn't think much of me, and maybe this is a generational thing, which I'm perfectly willing to just deal with. I don't think he really thought much of me. And I think that was mostly because I'm sure you could say it as, he really wasn't finding himself. He really wasn't, it wasn't coming together for him. And I said, well, I don't think that being a milkman was really finding yourself. I think that's just what you did, and you just never got the gumption to do anything else. You woke up early. It was a physical job, you know, you had to be able to bump around big crates of milk. America's big on physicality. And the fact that he sacrificed a lot of other things, and that he had to wake up really early, you know, it was a job that began at 4 in the morning, saying you know too much. And then he got, you know, it would be, I did it again. It would be an 8-10 hour day. Blue collar his entire life. And he came from the mindset of the place that was the most honorable thing to do. And I totally reject it. And in doing that, I think I have really quite, I didn't honor what he did. And in not honoring what he did, or being like him, he found it difficult to respect that. So, you know, the thing was somewhat mutual. So I let it go. I married her daughter, I didn't marry him. Lisa wanted to get a little distance from her parents anyway, and that worked fine for me. Didn't bother me at all. I don't really have a sense for my mother's family. My grandmother was a homemaker when I was around. My mother was a homemaker for most of my young childhood. I mean, my parents got divorced and she had to go to work. I had to deal with the whole divorce thing. I didn't think much of my father from the standpoint of he was a salesman, he was a good salesman. The few times I attempted to do sales, I just didn't have the I didn't care about it. I didn't find I was engaged in the thing. I was more interested in almost the production side of it. So I really don't know how foreign services, because I get the impression on some level that the foreign service might like the salesman sort of ethic. The United States is a nation of salesmen. If you look at those who excel the most in the United States, you'll find on some level they engage in business, and in the United States, business is sales. There's a lot of convincing people to buy your product in the United States. Maybe sure in other places too. The pinnacle of it, the hype, comes from a classic American attitude. Taking big risks, throwing yourself out there, hinging everything on one meeting with a banker, or on one meeting with a big client, or on one big thing that pushed you over the top. That ends up being, to a large extent, your ability to sell either your product or sell yourself. Now, I can't say I didn't get a little bit of that ability from my father, but when I was trying to be a salesman earlier on, I did poorly. Too shy. Not willing to jump in there. I hope Foreign Service is not just selling America cornflakes. Hey, my name's Jason Devereaux, and you'll love America type stuff. I hope that's not the end. But I can see that would be useful. So I'd have to be a little bit better about that. Although I would like to think that whatever take I would give on it would be more of an intellectual take than simply an appeal to the emotions and the more pure. puerile part of your life. But I do understand that's just powerful as the intellectual argument often will come. So I think I only know that on an intellectual level. And I don't know how well I can play that role, especially if it's a role you expect me to play on a regular basis. I think I'm more of a policy wonk. I hope that's useful. And if it's not, you know, I get washed out and it's fine. I'll be something else instead. Just as much as you, now this goes back to the whole idea of that probationary period, just as much as the Foreign Service wants to get a sense for me and whether they think I'll be successful at it, I'm also using that probationary period decide if this is going to work well for me. And if this is where I want to go, the kind of person I want to attempt to become, if I'm going to have to change something, I better not change something. So I'm still at the ripe old age of 45, 46 here pretty soon. I'm really just trying on a very basic level to find out where I stand. What works for me? I am so jealous, on a certain level, of people who, very early on, 20, early 30s, have figured out pretty much what they're about and what they're good at. And what makes their heart sing. That's wonderful. I'm so happy for you. And with me, it's trying to figure out where on earth do I fit in? Or do I fit in at all? Or is it the constant effort and work of trying to gain attributes or lose attributes in service to an employer, some outside force. And wondering to myself, am I even going to like what I become? That was probably the breaking point for the whole Roundtree experience, was that I didn't like the kind of person I was turning into. Having a talk with one of the earlier interventionists. My job was basically coming together with interventionists, being their supervisor, staffing, things like that. Finding good people, I think the people that were there were already decently good, and retaining them, or cutting them loose. Now, I was young, I had no philosophy or outlook on how to do this. If I would have stayed, I think I would have gotten it eventually. I think I had two or three issues. Number one, I didn't talk enough to people above me. Who could have helped me with these things? I was concerned that I needed to walk in and be I don't know what I thought I was supposed to be. I think I was my biggest trouble was that I was floundering. I needed to talk to my supervisor more about, I think I need to jump ship at, and here's my circumstance. What do you think the best thing to do here would be? I wasn't really coming into the culture very well, but now as I look at and I think back about it, and I haven't spent a minute or two. If I've spent 5 minutes, it's been the last 5 minutes I've been sitting here trying to analyze it, that I can come up readily with several things I could have done better, that if I would have considered them at the time, I probably could have stayed in that position. And probably by this time in my life, been quite high-level administration sort of a person. When I first got into the job, it was really obvious what some of the things were that were problematic. And the things that I started doing, which were very mechanical, I sat in for probably 3 or 4 days. I was trying to build from the ground up a database to do something, to take some of what I consider to be kind of just busy work load off of me. And I didn't understand the whole concept of that I had the ability to go out and buy a spreadsheet or buy a database program and have that kind of generate things for me. That was kind of a form filler sort of thing. To say, let's take a look at how things are going. It was a whole issue of maximizing billing. And the interpretation of what was a billable hour, what was activities, and how could you bill it. And it was a whole lot of just signing and signing and signing forms. And I guess I was the first guy to come up with a smart idea, and it's not very smart at all. It was obvious. The fact that they had never done it before was actually something that I needed a stamp that had my signature on it. And that was easy. Stamp. You know, and have somebody else do that. Gave our stuff to somebody else. Almost immediately I needed to come up with somebody else that whose job was almost strictly speaking coding. I really needed to step back from that whole process, put somebody else in there to handle coding. Even if it was just a part-time person, somebody who knew something about medical coding might have been good. And you see, now, with all the experience I've had, even though I haven't had a lick of administrative experience, I think I've gotten more confident with it. So that now, when presented with an administration circumstance, I think I would do a whole lot better. And I would be much more willing to figure out how I could get other people to do this part of the work while I attended to other things. I might have a bad tendency of sloughing off too much and not having much to do. But that would also free me up to go out and get involved more in, you know, the soiree stuff, which I would try to throw an underling. That sounds bad. You don't call them underling. I would throw to one of my people and say, this seems good for you. I've got this kind of view of what I'm after you. And the kind of person I think will do a good job with it. And I'll be totally supportive of you. but also to say, I really, you know, don't want to, get caught up in this kind of stuff. That's a good way to say it. Well, regardless, I think I'm in a better position now than I ever have been in the past. When I was presented with opportunities to go into administration, that I might be better situated now than other times. I may have a better take on it, a better skill set, more capable of doing it with maturity. Sometimes it takes maturity. And I think being able to, I think my ability to handle my fears, or at least not let those fears stop you from doing something, I think that's pretty, I think that was probably the biggest killer of my as administrative career, was just saying, I don't think, I let my fear rule the day, and I don't think I'm going to do that so readily anymore. Not that I'm conquering them on any level at all, but that I think I'm better at steeling myself against them and pressing forward. Because typically fears are a mile wide, a mile tall, and a good instant. And that pressing through them. You remember that movie, Ghost? Trying to pass the door was really weird, you know, it's a weird sensation. But once you got accustomed to the fact that doors could simply be gotten through, it was no longer a problem anymore. And I think that's how I deal with fear these days. And so I've learned over time that no matter how insurmountable and scary that is, push on through. Chances are it's not very thick. And if it is thicker, you just keep feeling yourself up against it. This is because its thickness is something you cannot see. But the tendency is that it's not very thick. So you keep going with it. People say, oh, I'm scared that I'm going to have to learn a new language. And you go, you know, I have no idea what my aptitude would be toward this at all. I've never attempted it. I've never even tried. And it might be good to try to learn Morse code, because that, I think, has a whole lot to do with learning another language. So I need to kind of get that going. I also need to a little bit here, change shirts. So, oh, let me go ahead and stop this recording.